Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a wonderful company, a new company to us, to be sharing with you today, and a very exciting performance coming down the line. And joining us to talk with us about this, we've got the director and founder of that company, Adriana Pierce. She's here to talk to us about Queer the Ballet in partnership with Baruch Performing Arts Center's presentation of Dream of a Common Language. This is playing June 21st through the 23rd at the Baruch Performing Arts Center, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting queertheballet.com. This is a wonderful show, as I mentioned, by a new company to us, and the subject matter about the show is perfect for June, as June is Pride Month. So I think the best person to tell us more about this is our guest. So let's welcome on our guest, Adriana Pierce. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
I am so happy that you are here. You are here to share with us this amazing company, Queer the Ballet, that you're the founder of, and this amazing show, Dream of a Common Language, which you're directing. This is all so exciting. So why don't we start by having you tell our listeners a little bit about what Dream of a Common Language is about.
So Dream of a Common Language, it's inspired by a book of poetry by lesbian activist poet Adrienne Rich. And she has a book of poetry called The Dream of a Common Language, came out in the 70s. But Adrienne Rich is a very beloved lesbian voice in our community. And when we're thinking about what type of queer works we want to create, we were thinking about narrative. And I think there's, you know, one kind of narrative, which is like, you know, we could have done girl meets girl, you know, beginning, middle, end. But I think we were more interested in thinking about narrative in terms of like, how stories, different types of stories by different people can all be put into one space. So we used her book of poetry as a jumping off point. It's so rich with imagery and identity, and there's so much to draw from. So we started there and then started creating these through lines with the different dancers playing different characters. And it's going to be, yeah, a very complex and beautiful comment about community and how when you find yourself and your own identity, it becomes stronger when you connect with others who can speak the same language that you can. And that language can be queerness or dance or movement, right? But finding the ways that you can similarly connect with the people around you that have similar experiences from you, which is something that a lot of queer artists, especially in professional ballet, don't actually get to feel all the time. That is a very common experience all over the world, especially for queer women and trans and non-binary professional ballet dancers, that it has historically been a little bit isolating in that space. And so it's pretty powerful to have a group of queer artists making queer art together using ballet as their common language.
That is so beautiful. I love that. Listen, that's the power of theater. That's the power of dance, just art in general, just a universal language.
That's right.
So tell me, how did you come up with the idea to put this particular piece on? What inspired you?
Honestly, it's the dancers that I've been working with. So Queer the Ballet, you know, we've been around for a couple of years now, came out of the pandemic, a time when the dance world, many, many industries were kind of leveled to the ground. And we were looking ahead at a lot of rebuilding. And my work with Queer the Ballet really was born out of connections I was having for the very first time with other queer women in ballet. We got on Zoom and started connecting and talking. And I had never been able to relate in that way with other artists when I was in professional ballet companies. And it was that feeling of feeling seen fully for the first time that I was so powerful. And so much of my work with Queer the Ballet was born from those kind of like initial seeds of community. And since then, we've done smaller projects here and there, projects. We've, you know, worked on some community engagement. We worked on some education resources. We've found different ways that the community, or we found different needs that the community has and different ways that we can kind of engage with the artists. But I think we got to a point where it was, when we're talking about what type of live work we want to make, this is like kind of the biggest and most ambitious project to date. The last time we had a live show, it was more about, okay, we are here, we exist. And that was kind of how we went into that project. And that was the goal. And we did that. And I think what my goal for this project is a little bit more repertoire based. I'm showcasing some really, really great dancers from professional ballet companies from all over North America. And also just to say that, like, the focus is on the actual choreography and the movement and the work, as opposed to just saying like, hi, we're all here. So it's a little bit more of a professional focus, a little more of a choreographic focus, but really inspired by all the different artists that I've met. I can't even begin to tell you how lucky I feel to finally have a group of queer artists that I can call on. Not just dancers, but lighting designers, musicians, costume designers. I mean, we have been reaching out and finding all these different people that I, in my wildest dreams, never thought that I would have this community. So it's really all about them and for them and from them. So that's kind of, yeah, the goal.
That is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think that's one of the one, dare I say, good things that came from the pandemic, is there was a lot of creation.
Seriously, from that isolation of sitting alone in my New York City apartment, like, I got to a point of isolation where I had to reach out and I had to find new ways of connecting with my art. And that has completely changed the course of my career and my life. I mean, I think that I've been queer. I'm a queer artist. I'm a queer woman. Like, I've been out since I was in high school and since I was at the School of American Ballet. But I think that I was never fully able to embrace my identity, especially in my choreography and in my work. And I didn't even realize that I wasn't fully doing that. But when you are at rock bottom and when you are at zero and you have to think about looking forward, you know, for me, it was like, all right, well, how am I going to contribute? How am I going to contribute to this industry? How am I going to contribute to, like, the legacy of professional ballet? And how am I going to speak my truth? And I'm really grateful. You know, it's crazy to say that, but I actually am really grateful for that hard reset. And I'm excited because, honestly, none of the things that I say with my working for the ballet is new. I've been, you know, feeling these feelings for many years, and I've said a lot of the same things, but the industry is ready to hear it now. And I think that also has to do with their experience of the pandemic too. There are a lot of people who I've had conversations, hard conversations with in the past about these exact topics, that now they're open, they're ready to listen, and they have maybe the knowledge, and they're ready. So that's really exciting. You know, some changes fast and some changes slow, but I feel like right now we're kind of in a very exciting new frontier, and I hope that people continue to push forward.
I love that. Oh my gosh, say that again for the people in the back. That is just beautiful. It's a wonderful thought. So, turning back to the current piece at hand, Dream of a Common Language, what has it been like developing this piece and getting it up on its feet?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think about and try to work on for Queer the Ballet is just the logistics of how to make queer ballet and what queer ballet is. But with this piece, I've also been thinking about what other ways can we queer ballet? And for me, that was thinking about how to incorporate different voices into the work, not just mine. I think a lot of times we think one choreographer, one ballet, one story. And I was really interested in bringing on different collaborators so that there were multiple voices all speaking, you know, this one language of this common piece. And that was So I've assembled a really great team. I'm directing the whole piece and choreographing most of it, but I also have three other choreographers who will be contributing sections, which is not normally done. You usually when you hear like, it's an evening, one evening length piece, it's really only one choreographer. So it's a little bit of an experiment, but I also am really excited about having different voices, and we're all kind of working towards a common goal. And so we're in the midst of that collaboration and seeing how that works and all giving different ideas and different feedback. So hopefully by June we have the kind of a patchwork quilt of different perspectives that all still kind of works together in uniting ballet and our identities and how we're all exploring our art form.
Yay! That's so amazing. And it kind of leads into my next question, which is there a message or thought you're hoping that audiences will take away from your piece?
Yeah, I well, first of all, I hope that people get to kind of get a glimpse of maybe a different type of just a different perspective. I think that I'm excited to just share our world with the audiences. So there's that, and I also think again, this like what are the logistics of queer ballet? I think I really want people to really be thinking critically about how we experience ballet and what we've taken for granted, whether it's the gendered movement or the gender binary and how the movement maybe fits into those things. So I really want people to leave thinking about that and maybe thinking critically about other dance that they'll see. But more than that, I think I just I'm so inspired by this queer dance community, and I think that I just want people to see that and see them and see these artists just dancing their faces off and working together. And I think that that's the biggest thing for me, that people leave saying, I just saw really great dancing and got to hear kind of a different perspective and got to see truly what the power of community is. I think sometimes we say like, oh, the power of community, it can kind of be a little bit of a buzzword, but especially in the LGBTQ plus community is everything. It is life, and you can't do it alone. So yeah, that power of community, I hope that people really take with them.
That is a fantastic idea. Absolutely. And it's going to be even exemplified even more with it being Pride Month. You know what I mean? So I love that. And it leads to my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access to dream of a common language?
Well, I hope that people who are in New York, we worked on kind of keeping the ticket price moderate and also making sure we have student pricing, because I think that's really, really important. But we also will be recording the production, and I'm hoping that we can also make that accessible to more people. One of the things that I've always felt is important with my work with Queer the Ballet is making sure we have dance on film accessible, and I'm always going to fight for that. So even when we do live work, we're going to keep finding ways, because the thing is that there's young queer people who really need to see this type of work but can't make it to New York or don't have the funds or aren't don't feel safe enough to come out. So while we are doing these shows in June for whoever can make it here in New York City, I also hope to release it in a different way to be more accessible. But I think overall it's like, come if you're a dance lover, come if you're a theater lover, come if you're just trying to celebrate pride and celebrate queerness and togetherness and community. Come if you are into Adrienne Rich poetry. Come if you love music. We have a lot of different pieces by a lot of different specifically queer or women composers, and so I think there's a lot in there for a lot of different types of people, and I really hope that we can all come together and enjoy it all as one.
second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brain, if you will. And I want to start by asking you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And since we are talking dance, I mean, I have to also open that up to dance shows and choreographers as well.
Ah, it's such a broad. It's like, I think that, I mean, so many things inspire me. Well, I think obviously my, personally, like my dance training, my ballet training, obviously it has a big influence on me. I studied this at the School of American Ballet, which is a Balanchine style school. And so all of George Balanchine's work has really inspired my choreography and myself as a dancer. And I use a lot of that musicality and attack and kind of freshness with movement, just like on a basic level. I take that with me everywhere I go. But I actually also grew up with theater a lot. And I work in theater now too. And so storytelling, there's a lot of musicals and theater pieces that I think of often and definitely inspire me. And I see you actually have a poster of Fun Home behind you. And yeah, for me, that was a huge kind of turning point when I saw that show live, because it was the first time I love musical theater, but it was the first time that I sat in a Broadway house and felt like I was hearing a story that was like actually directed towards me. That's something that I think about a lot. But honestly, everything is inspiration. Everyone I meet, every person I meet, every collaborator, every director, choreographer, or dancer that I've ever worked with, it's like you take from your experiences, which is kind of a cop-out answer. And I don't mean it to be, but it is absolutely true.
I love that, though. That is a brilliant answer. Let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the arts?
I'm thinking, because there's so many things. I mean, because my first thing thought that I had was, well, it's just, I don't, this just, I just, I love it. It's who I am. It's what I do. Like, I can't imagine anything else. You know, it's kind of like, this is how I communicate with the world. This is how I like understand my place in it. So it's so intrinsic that I I don't know if I can say like, oh, this is my favorite part about it, because it's literally just how I breathe. But I do think that it's whatever that thing is. It's that thing when you're in the audience and you're collectively experiencing a piece of live performance that you all are in it together, and you're all experiencing the heightened level of connection there. That is what I live for all the time. So whether I'm experiencing myself or I'm creating it or I'm on stage, I mean, it's like that collective energy. There's nothing like it. I mean, it's like, that must be what life is about, right? I don't know. I don't know any other way.
I think that is a stupendous answer, and I share that with you. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, and that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I'm so bad at picking favorites, because I can't just like pick one. It's just so hard. But I already talked about my Fun Home experience. That's definitely up there. Okay. But I will say, since, you know, because also we're here talking about Dream of a Common Language, the first live performance that Queer the Ballet put on in 2022 felt so huge to me. And I just kept thinking, like, I wish that I had had this when I was a teenager coming out. And yeah, I think it was just so powerful. And still that same thing of like having people around you who speak the same language as you, who understand your experiences. I think those in the pandemic, those early Zoom meetings I had with other queer women in ballet and non-binary artists, what we realized was that the only shared experience we all had was a lack of shared experience in professional ballet with other queer women. And so I think the first time that we all were in a theater together creating explicitly queer work made by queer artists in a room full of a lot of queer people who came and were so moved by it, that was like, wow, this is the power of art. This is why we do it. And so I will never forget that, for sure.
That is a beautiful memory, a Beautiful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you or your company have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
I think Dream of a Common Language is the big thing that we're really focusing on. We're going to have some news coming after that, but I think that's the big one at the moment. It's our biggest production to date. It's our largest, we have the most collaborators. I'm really excited about it. So that's the focus. And I will say that if you can't make it to the show in June, that's okay. We've got merch now, so you can support us that way. That's really exciting to me. I'm wearing my QTB hat right now, but that has been a really fun way to just get support from different people and also spread the word and spread the love. But yeah, Dream of Common Language, June, so excited.
That is amazing. I love that. Well, that leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Dream of a Common Language or about you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
QueertheBallet.com and or Queer the Ballet on all social media sites. But our website has information, and also you can sign up for our email list, which is a good way to kind of keep in touch with us. You can also just send us an email and tell us through the website, and I get a lot of people reaching out through there. And I love hearing from everyone. So QueertheBallet.com, at Queer the Ballet, everywhere else. And you can also use the hashtag Queer the Ballet and instantly get connected with the work we've done and other people who are using the hashtag to tag their work as well.
Amazing. Well, Adriana, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and speak with me today, sharing your amazing company and this amazing upcoming production. This has been such a joy. So, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
My guest today has been the director and founder at Queer the Ballet, Adriana Pierce, who joined us to talk about her upcoming show being presented by Queer the Ballet in partnership with Baruch Performing Arts Center. It's entitled Dream of a Common Language, and it's playing June 21st through the 23rd at Baruch Performing Arts Center. Tickets and more information are available at queertheballet.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which will be posted in our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you run, don't walk. Head over to queertheballet.com now. Get your tickets for this beautiful, beautiful show. Perfect show to take in during Pride Month. Again, it's Dream of a Common Language happening June 21st through the 23rd. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.